Hello, ladies and gentlemen. Jesse Duplantis here.
I'm Kathy Duplantis. We're back.
We're back.
Yeah, we've been celebrating 50 years of ministry. We started last week's program. It's just awesome to think what God has done over the years.
You know, and some of the people in our studio wanted me to go back. They like it when they see tears come from my old stories and things of that nature. And I'm because I stopped in 1995, but let me go back a little bit to some of the things I did. You know, when you step out by faith, you don't know what's coming because the evidence of faith is not seen. Mm-hmm. But you heard the voice of God. Mm-hmm. And it's just such a blessing of the Lord. And I want to kind of look at my notes here. It was just so funny how God began to bless us and honor us. And I needed to do television. I told you I got me a television truck last year. This is our 50th year.
Last year?
Last week. And to make a long story short, I did a little contract with Cox Cable or Cox Production here in New Orleans. And I'd have to go do 18 shows. Remember, you used to bring all those suits? Everybody dressed up in those
clothes,
days.
Yeah.
And I mean, and I would preach to it. I mean, spit flying, boy.
Several months of programming all at once. One or two days.
One day. And it would be like 4 or 5 hours, you know. And by the last time I got to the 18th program, the producer, Cox, said, "You're losing a little energy. Suck it up, Dad." Just say, "Come on, suck it up." You
know, and I thought this to myself. This was a guy, I remember he was an old sergeant. And
yeah, he was
retired,
an old
and now he's in that industry.
So, I mean, I kind of made it. He said, "Suck it up." I said, "I don't know, but I've been told Jesus Christ will bless your soul." Oh, he go, oh, he starts saluting. He's just a great guy. Well, you know, but that's all we could do. I mean, you know, we didn't have anything, didn't know anything, didn't know anybody. Mm-hmm. We just did what God told us to do. Mm-hmm. And from time and time again, it was just amazing. And let me give you an example here, how God began to bless us here. When we went on Christian television and secular, our ministry began to skyrocket in terms of people listening to it. The money wasn't there. But you know, because you have to develop that and just simply believe God's word. So me and Kathy, we gave all our, I mean, we did everything we could, everything. We put everything first. People would laugh at us about the house we lived in. You remember that? Preachers would say, "Well, you see that house that Jesse and friends living in?" But they don't say that now. No. But back then, but see, every time we get a little money, we gave it to the ministry. We pushed it. I said, "I'm going to build these things." And Kathy was in 100% agreement with that. I wanted to go on TBN. I hope Paul and Jan can hear what I'm about ready to say. God, I wanted, but I couldn't afford that. There's just no way, you know, it was impossible. And one day I was at number 12 Storehouse Lane.
That was our first office building.
First office, my God.
That's a whole story in itself.
Oh, that's a miracle of Jesus Christ.
So many great miracles God has done for our ministry over the years.
And I thought, I'm praying. And I walked down, it was an upstairs, I walked down and he goes, I looked at the fax machine and a contract came out from TBN in California to me about a television program. So I had, who was my secretary then? I can't remember now because it'd been 50 years ago, you know. Anyway, to make a long story short, I told him, I said, call TBN and tell them they sent this contract by accident. You know, to our ministry. And I'll never forget it because I can't afford that. And so we did, faxed them, got a fax immediately, said, "No, Chan and Paul want to give you a program." Mm. Give me a program? Are you kidding me? Yeah, what you'll do is go post office box A, Santa Ana, California. You remember those days? I don't know. I thought, how am I going to do the production? And they even said, if you want to do production, you can come to California and we'll do it for you. But that's great, but I can't afford to go to California. You know, I don't have no money.
It's a weekly program.
But the Lord opened something up here so we could do that. Mm-hmm. And I began to go on TV. And little did I realize, I don't mean this to sound prideful, but if you go back in time, I don't know how many times Jan said, "You're the most popular host." They asked me to host one time. I thought, you got to be kidding me. My program became number one and number two. Remember Dr. Cherry? I don't know if you remember. A wonderful man. What a blessing to God. He would be number one 1 week. I'd be number two the next week. And vice versa. I mean, it was just amazing how God was doing those things. And the Lord said, "I want you to do this. I want you to do this." And I said, "Lord, I don't have the money." And he gave me a statement in 1978. "I didn't ask you to pay for it. I ask you to believe for it. That changed my life. It's the greatest statement, Kathy, I believe God's ever given me. And he's given me some wonderful, mm-hmm. wonderful things. And from that day forward, when I need to believe God for $1 million here, or 10 million, believe in God for 20 million, I mean, I say, well, he didn't ask me to pay for it. Mm-hmm. He asked me to be, you remember when I went on TV and all that kind of stuff? And I just could not believe that someone would ask me. And then I got a letter from Kenneth Copeland Ministries asking him if I would come through Jimmy Hester to go preach that motorcycle rally. Mm-hmm. This was all in the same week, how God was putting this all together. And ladies and gentlemen, I didn't have the money to do it in any way, shape, or form, you know. So I was in Miami, Florida, and I was preaching. I'll never forget. And Jimmy Hester, he's in heaven today. Arlington Christian Center, you might remember, a great church. He said, can you come to a motorcycle rally? I never preached a motorcycle rally in my life. You like motorcycles? I said, yeah, but I said, but I can't get there. He said, if I can get you there, would you do it? I said, yes. Little did I realize when I got there, Kenneth Copeland was going to preach it, Jerry Savelle was going to preach it, and Jesse Duplantis. Now, the way they had it all set up, I was going to preach Friday night, me. Kenneth Copeland was going to preach Saturday night, and Jerry Savelle was going to preach Sunday morning. Well, they had a little, like a little camper. We went in there, and Brother Copeland walked up and said, hello, I'm Kenneth Copeland. I said, I'm Jesse Duplantis. He said, I've watched you. I said, I've watched you. And we're just sitting there talking, you know, and I was honored that he even asked me. And Jimmy said, I'm going to let y'all talk. Y'all might have something y'all want to say to each other, but whatever. So he walks out, and Kenneth said, you know, Jesse, me and Jerry do this all the time. And I had no idea, because I didn't know Kenneth Copeland. He said this, why don't we all tag team preach? I had never tag team preached before. See, these are new beginnings. He said, why don't I start? Jerry, you get in the middle, and Jesse, you close the gate. I said, fine. We did it Friday night, we did it Saturday night, and we did it Sunday morning. Mm-hmm. Now watch this. So when we turned the service over back to Jimmy, he was gonna close it out. Jimmy said, everybody grab someone's hand, we're gonna pray. And I grabbed, let me have your hand. I grabbed Brother Copeland's hand. Now watch me, I'm gonna do this so you can. And he did this, he squeezed my hand. And I look while he's praying, he said, the Lord just told me I'd like you to preach one of my conventions. And I said, I can't. You don't tell Kenneth Copeland. I said, I can't. I said, I am low. I had meetings like crazy. I was preaching every day. And he said, but let me get home and look. And I called him back. I said, I can give you 3 days. He said, I'll take it. Mm-hmm. That was the beginning. That was 35 years ago. That was the beginning of my association with Kenneth and Gloria. Mm-hmm. Now, TBN's here. PTL, TBN, Kenneth Copeland, I'm still preaching. And then finance began to come in the body. They said, ladies and gentlemen, people don't realize this. In 1990, I was the lowest paid person at Jesse Duplantis Ministries. Everybody else made more money than me. I paid myself $1,000 a month. Because every time I got something, anytime any extra money came in, jam it toward that ministry. That's right. I mean, the reception made more money than me. I mean, I didn't. But me and Kathy, we understood this. We already seen where God was going to take us. Now, so why did it take so long? I don't know. I don't think it was a lack of faith or an abundance of unbelief. You know, you just have to learn those things. And things. So I began to do that, and I hired Fritz Brown. Jesus, help me, Lord. Fritz, what a blessing of God.
I was not hired. I was drafted.
Yeah, Kathy was drafted.
And so I remember when we hired him, we needed someone to travel with you on the road so that, because you were, like we talked about on the first program, how you would pack up that little small Toyota with a sound system that we believe God for. You'd go to the meeting, set it up, preach, sell the, and you, by that time you had some products you were selling.
You had a
gospel album you had done.
You remember when I first
and
heard
then,
about a cassette
So we
tape?
Needed somebody to help you.
Remember that cassette tape, Don Williams?
Yeah, I remember the tape ministry, how it began. So he was preaching these wonderful sermons all over the world, all over the state of Louisiana, and people wanted to hear it again. And so we bought 100 cassettes, right?
Yeah, 100 cassettes. And I thought it was going to last me 3 months.
Months. It
and
sold out that
night,
first
they
night.
They sold that night.
Had to borrow some from the pastor who he already had.
I started the tape ministry right there. I mean, it was the wildest thing you ever seen in your life. But see, I didn't know what to do. I said, well, I need duplicates.
People wanted to hear it again. I remember when I made up that first, four-pack. It was four tapes together in one package.
You are a candidate for a miracle.
Yes, Jesse's Gold is what I named it, I think. And I remember typing up the labels, putting it in that case. I remember drawing up the first sheet like this, all the list of sermon titles, because you were starting to save the masters for it. People were riding into our little house when we were in that house in Hellier Street.
Oh, Hellier. Can you imagine a preacher living on Hellier Street?
It's a little small, was it 900 and what?
Square 960
foot?
Square foot.
60 square foot.
The bathroom
house.
Was so small, you could sit on the toilet and put your hands in the lavatory washing. I'm not lying.
Yeah, and I had a daycare business in that house. The kids would come 5 days a week. I had 8 children, only had one baby at a time. I remember I'd cook them breakfast and lunch. And then they would take a nap, and my brother-in-law loaned me this typewriter that he had. I remember it was a brother typewriter from my brother-in-law. And so we stored it under the bed because we just had our bedroom, Jody's bedroom.
Furniture. We had nothing.
The living room, this tiny kitchen, and this lean-to porch that had the washer and dryer, which was hooked up to the sink. So every time I would wash clothes, I had to run and shut it off because otherwise the water would overflow in the sink and then I'd have a clean floor again. Anyway, I'd have to mop up the floor. But this typewriter would come out and put it on the table where we had our dinners, and I would type out while the children were napping. And it was wonderful about this Brother typewriter because it had a cartridge that you could pop in and out depending upon the color type you wanted. Yeah. And so whenever I typed our letters, which was ivory paper, I had brown ink, so I would type out brown to the pastors and different things. And when I did the labels, we had a blue label, so blue cartridge to type out One More Night with the Frog.
More Night with the Frog.
Show Me a Sign. Yeah. All these great titles, which I think are still, you may have reprised, you may have them in the app.
You were working at the house, and I was working on the road by myself. I mean, and when I hired Fritz Brown, I said, and he got saved under my ministry.
And when he was like
so
18.
I told the pastor I want to hire him. And the pastor said, that boy crazy. Don't hire that boy. I tell you, he's crazy.
Now, this was the same pastor that helped you with radio.
He said, he's crazy, man. Uh-huh. But the Lord said, you train him. Boy, did he anchor my soul. I want to let you know.
Mine
now,
too.
He's one of the finest employees I've ever seen. He'd take a bullet for me today.
We could spend days on those stories.
I mean, he would take a bullet for me. I mean,
today.
It was just amazing. And we'd drive. Now, watch this. I said, God, I need something. I don't have nothing, and you want me to do this. I got to have something to carry things. God Almighty. So we were supposed to go eat lunch, and when we ate lunch, we went to McDonald's, you see? And I was with Jules Bokeh, my brother-in-law. He said, hey, Jesse, he said, look, let's go, we're going to eat lunch. And I said, well, we're going to McDonald's. No, let's try something a little better. I said, and I didn't have no money. And he said, listen, I'm buying. I said, oh, okay, we'll go, you know? So he said, oh, I got to stop at the Dodge place for a minute. Mm-hmm. And I said, oh, okay, you know. And we walked into the Dodge. He said, come on in, walk in with me. Are you with me? Mm-hmm. And we all walked in there, you know, on the showroom floor, and there was this beautiful tan-looking van. And so I never thought nothing about it, you know. I just said, this is 1982.
Were you believing for a van?
Yeah, I need his help,
man. Because we'd outgrown that little Toyota.
Well, I was going to place Fritz because all the seats were full of equipment, you know.
Front seat, back seat,
back in your trunk, everything you could think of. And so the guy comes out and he said, are you Jesse the Planus? And Jules was standing right there and he threw me the keys. And I called him and I said, what? And Jules and Deborah said, we're buying this for your ministry.
It was such an awesome thing.
I said, what? Mm-hmm. We're buying this for your ministry. And I went, oh, God, help me, man. And it touched me again. Mm-hmm. And then the people start crying in the Dodge place. I thought, oh, go on. And Jules said, just get in the van. Drive it off the showroom. Just come on, man. You got a van. And it had all metal in it.
You're
it was nothing.
To fix it up
Two
yourself.
Seats.
Yeah, it's a cargo van.
I wanted to carry stuff like that. And it wasn't 3 days, a person come up to me and said, you need to put some carpet in that van. And I said to myself, I'd love to, but I ain't got no money. But I didn't say that. And he said, I know a place on Hickory, Dickory, and Dock.
In Metairie, Louisiana.
And they do vans.
That's custom.
And he customized. Even put a little,
closet to hang your clothes.
Little
small closet in the back.
Oh, they still had two seats. Me, Fritz had one, I had the other. We just
carpet going on the floor, sides, and the top, oh, and was just.
I thought, God, what are you doing? You know, and he says, I'm taking
shag
care of
carpet,
you.
As I recall.
Shag carpet, son. I love that
golden
thing.
Shag and, carpet.
Till today, boy, when I see Deborah and Jules, it touches my heart when I think about it.
They were so faithful.
Because they stepped out by faith, and they were lawyers. They weren't in ministry then at all. They were lawyers and things of that nature. And before you know it, and you know, they got me a little list to say some things, and it was just amazing. Well, Jules was a lawyer, and he got born again. He was an atheist. He got saved in his front yard for everybody to see. It was the funniest thing I ever saw. Well, what happened was, he said, Jesse, can God do anything? I said, God can do anything, Jules. God can do it, you know? And I'm preaching a revival at Bayou Blue Assembly of God.
Oh, right? I love this story.
This is 100, if it's at 100 people, that's a lot.
Yeah.
I didn't care. So Jules gave me some space in his law firm that could give me an office. I didn't have an office. Mm-hmm. Nothing, zero. So I thought, man, I get an office? You know, yeah. Okay, so watch this.
I got an office.
This lady falls down in some, I think it was Kentucky Fried Chicken or something, and really got hurt bad.
Yeah.
And it was totally paralyzed like this and stuff like that. So she was coming, you know, do a lawsuit. And because they had done wrong, they had the chicken, grease everywhere. So anyway. He said, now, ma'am, I can get you $1 million, maybe $2 million, or I can get you healed.
Which one do you want?
He said, which one do you want? He said, I got a brother-in-law that's preaching tonight. He don't lie. He's never lied to me. And he told me God will heal you, and all you got to do is come. She said, well, she's like this now. She said, all right. And Paris, I'd rather get healed. Jules called me up and said, Jesse, I'm bringing a woman. She's all crippled and everything. And I told her God's going to heal her. Is that right? I went, oh, Jesus, God help me. You're talking about pressure. And I went, you know, Jules, and Kathy, you said.
I could hear him talking. I said, don't you tell don't that you, boy, no.
I said, bring the woman. Glory to God. And that afternoon, I prayed for the rapture all the way to 7 o'clock. I could just think. Got there. We preached. The Holy Ghost had fallen. It was in wonderful. By a blue assembly of God. I started praying for people. And Jules takes the lady, and she's doing this, brings her up like this, like that, and she's like this. And I said, boy, the anointing of God hit me, ladies and gentlemen. And I said, God's going to heal you, girl.
Yeah, I remember Jules, said, he says.
So he turns around and said, hey, watch this.
This
the church.
He tells the whole crowd.
Watch this.
His faith was strong.
And I went, and when I went like this, Jesus. When I did, her arm went, bam.
Popped up instantly.
Instantly. Boom, both hands. Oh, and then bam, hit the floor. Mm-hmm. People screaming.
Yes, so wonderful.
Oh, I get goosebumps when I think about that. Good God Almighty, man. And Jules the next day was at the funeral home trying to get some dead bodies.
He says, next week. That's what he said.
I'm not kidding you. I'm serious.
That was hilarious. Next
he said,
week.
He said, wouldn't release the body. No, I'm telling you, my brother-in-law, don't lie. God will raise him from the dead. And I said, control yourself, Jules. You know, these are just, but it was teaching me to believe the unbelievable,
amen,
to receive the impossible.
Because
it was doable.
Amen. Yes.
You see what I'm saying?
That's great.
My Lord. What I mean, there's so many things. And you know, I preached in denominational, non-denominational, interdenominational churches. Now, you know, I was Christian confirmed the Catholic. So even the Catholics found out about me. So they asked me to preach.
Oh,
and
yeah.
I went to Annunciata Catholic Church. Y'all hadn't heard this. And I thought, man. So and
that's the church where
the
I went to as a
movement.
Child.
You went there as a child?
Uh-huh.
The charismatic movement really began to go strong. My God, man. So I get in there and the priest said, now listen, Dr. Taplanta, call me. I want no doctor, you know. You can't touch the altar. Okay, because the altar's holy. I said, he said, and besides, the Jesuits are here. And they don't like that kind of stuff. I said, okay. So, you know, he said, we will let you do the homily. They didn't call it a message. They call it a homily. If you're Catholic, you know what I'm talking about. So they turned the service over to me. Boy, and I mean, I could feel that anointing of God coming on me, and I'm getting excited. There was a couple of charismatic Catholics. They were shouting, you know. I turned around, and I slapped that altar, and for God's sake, you thought I'd kill somebody. Oh, oh, he slapped the altar, you know. And I said, come up here. And, man, people ran forward. This in the Catholic Church now. And I'm praying for, and they were falling out like fly, like you're shooting them. Ladies and gentlemen, they called 3 ambulances.
Yeah.
They thought they were dying in the church. I'm not kidding. 3 ambulances showed up at the Annunciata Catholic Church. They're in Hope, Louisiana. And my God, and I said, let me pray for you, Father. And he, give me your hands. He grabbed my hand. He said, I don't want to fall down. The Jesuits are here. And I prayed for him. And man, I'm holding him up. Don't let me fall. But he had no strength in his leg. These were the beginnings of Jesse Duplantis ministry. Mm-hmm. Then I called it Jesse Duplantis Evangelistic Association.
Yeah, I think everybody early had days, like that. That's what we had.
Yeah, that's just how it was. And you know, and God began to, I began to preach all over the state of Louisiana. I became very well known. I don't mean this to sound arrogant. There were two preachers in Louisiana people knew. One was Jimmy Swaggart, and the other one was Jesse Duplantis. Now, Jimmy Swaggart was global. He was worldwide. I was statewide. And I'm telling you, man, and we started out there, and he was preaching before me, but I mean,
right.
I mean, and came friends, and he invited me to preach. I mean, we were just going at it, buddy, preaching this glorious gospel. And every time I'd preach, you know, I had people following me. They would follow from here to there, and I'd go from North Louisiana down to South Louisiana. And watch this, my first partner, God, I was going to Doyleen Assembly of God in Doyleen, Louisiana. You know where Doyleen is? And I was going too fast because I was a little late, and a policeman pulled me over. Lights. I thought, oh, God, man. I ain't had no money to pay no ticket, you know, and all that kind of stuff. He pulls me over. He says, you know how fast you were going? And I said, yes, sir. And he looked at me. I said, I'm preaching, and I don't want to be late. Preaching. Are you a preacher? I said, yes, sir. He said, where are you preaching at? I said, a church called Darlene Assembly of God. He said, that's what my wife goes to that church. I said, she does. He said, are you that preacher you've been telling me to go see? I said, I don't know. His name was Tommy McWilliams. Mm-hmm. He was a deputy of the Bossier City Sheriff Department.
Right.
I said, I said, I'm sorry. Give me the ticket. And I want to preach that. He said, well, I'm not going to give you the ticket because, since you're going to preach. I said, no, that's all right. I said, no, I deserve it. I broke law. He said, I'm the one that gives the tickets. You understand? You don't tell me to give a ticket. I'll give you a ticket if I want to. I'm going to come see you that night. He came to see me that night.
Right.
God, he got born again. Mm. His wife is still living in Virginia.
Virginia.
Blessing of the Lord. Wonderful. My God, man, I mean, you wouldn't find a finer man than Tommy McWilliams.
Faithful.
He started tithing. He started
partnering
with me. He never missed a month. Mm-hmm. I mean, first it was like $5, but it went up, I don't know, it went way up high, mm-hmm. hundreds of dollars. I mean, I think it was like 35, 40 years, something like that. Never, ever missed a month. Mm-hmm. And I thought, and God told me, I'm going to give you partners like that man. That will stay with you. Mm-hmm. I said, okay. And when I did my first visionary conference, mm-hmm. I invited Tommy to come to honor him. You remember that?
Yeah,
him in Virginia and everybody? And he's in heaven. He was one of the finest men I ever met in my life. Mm-hmm. So Tommy, if you're hearing this, I'm gonna see you again. It helped me. God always sending people to help
That's
me
so true.
In every which way, shape or form. But not only were there people became partners with me, we became partners with people. The reason why I started television, I told Kathy, I said, well, for us to have a television ministry, we got to partner with someone that's on television.
That's right.
You remember that?
I remember.
So we started that. And
we
love
television
and
ministry because both of us got born again watching television. We watched Billy Graham on TV. Remember that? I got first, was born again, and about 2 years later, watched Billy Graham, were born again. We've told those testimonies before, it was so powerful. That's why we really have a passion for broadcast TV, because we know the effect of it. It really affected our lives, and we're infected.
Well, that's why I believe in television. And then, you know, I mean, it just kept, we infected, we became a godly pest.
And that's a classic message right there. How to become a godly pest.
Paul, they called him a pestilent fellow, which means he was infected with Christianity.
He was a reproach against sin.
Yeah, he was a reproach against sin. And I'm going to tell you something, boy, people would just
That was one of those great messages that you were preaching all over the state of Louisiana.
Oh, yeah.
I remember I remember putting that in that list, a product list on the tables.
Yeah.
The paper that I drew
you
up.
You did all the paperwork, you did it. I just preached
We were a team. Still
we were
a team. But I remember remember one time you told me about these young boys that came to your service that wrote had a T-shirt that put up the Pestilent
the
Fellows.
The Pestilent Fellows.
Because they had heard that message and it transformed their life.
Yeah. And then a bunch of women saw it. In the next meeting I had, they said, the Pestilent Girls. I mean, this message touched people's lives.
It's so wonderful.
It was so wonderful. Think back,
all that God has done, the different messages that He's given you that have impacted people's lives. I remember hearing stories of people that there was this young man, I don't know if we ever met him, but we heard that he was having like these basement revivals, thousands of teenagers coming in. This was many years ago in Birmingham, Alabama.
Right.
And over the years, we've met different ones that God has used the ministry, the words that He's given you to launch ministries. So it's been...
And I was the one that touched him, he said.
Yes.
Anyway, ladies and gentlemen,
praise
I mean, we only got about two minutes and 54 seconds left. Do y'all want to do another one? Y'all want to hear more of these stories?
We just didn't start it.
We're supposed to cut this cake. I'm going to do something right now that Kathy hates.
Oh.
I'm going to take me a bite of cake.
This is what he does. Is it good?
Oh, you want some?
No, I don't. I don't want any. But I'm glad you got it.
I'm going to tell you about this cake. Not this one. One time, I was watching this movie. You might have seen this commercial where they had the yellow cake with chocolate frosting.
That's our favorite. Yellow cake
with
chocolate.
And they pull that boy the frosting goes like that. And Kathy, we were sitting there watching, and Kathy looked at me and said, you want a cake?
You want one of those?
I said, yes. Boom! I heard, Arr! I mean, she peeled out, man. Went down to the store, got Duncan Hines, I guess what it was.
I got it.
Yellow cake and chocolate frosting.
Put it in
she
the
made
oven.
It. She always get mad at me. See, if I can turn it around so you can see the bite that I did here. You see that bite? Okay, so watch this. Instead of cutting me a slice, because she gets mad at me, she goes, whoa. She cut it in half.
I got it.
She took her half and took my half.
That's why I said, you can mutilate this one. I figured that I would have the nice side
well,
from
I'll
when
just
people
have
came
me
over.
Another bite of that. I think.
People would come over. I didn't want to be on his case. Just enjoy the cake.
So
I didn't expect him to eat the whole half.
You ate the whole half,
I ate the half.
I had a quarter of milk. We drink him. Sitting there, all of a sudden, our stomach went brrr.
It was a hot cake.
Thank God we had two bathrooms in the house. Kathy went one way and I went the other.
Unforgettable day.
I had to believe for healing for
we haven't
36
done it since.
Hours.
Jesse looked at me and said, Kathy, we've sinned. Glutton.
Yeah, man, we had to chop.
But we had been dieting for like 6 months, it felt like.
We
hadn't had any
glutton,
sugar,
man.
And we just went crazy, but it was a wonderful memory.
You can tell we're enjoying ourselves. Uh-huh. 50 years, ladies and gentlemen.
50 years.
I sure have changed.
Changing
my hair's white, but I still got my hair.
Uh-huh.
You hadn't changed much, Kathy.
Oh, I think I have.
Oh, well, I don't think so. I call her timeless elegance. Mm. I do. And it's such a blessing. We got 45 seconds. Do you want to do one more? Would y'all watch another program?
We're
celebrating 50 years.
I love reminiscing.
Then I'm going to really cut this cake if I get, okay?
We'll see.
I mean that. Thank you, partners, once again, for helping us. Mm-hmm. We had God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Ghost, and you. Mm-hmm. Me and Kathy, till today, we don't mind doing the work.
That's right.
I'm 76 years old. Kathy, 73.
73.
And we're filming this, so that's why we're in the same clothes.
Yes, and next week we're going to be in the same clothes again.
We're going to do another program. So until next week, Jesse and Kathy saying we love you. See you next week. Bye-bye.
Thank you for watching today. For more information about Jesse Duplantis Ministries, go to jdm.org.